Blog Talk Radio.
RattleAndHumSports.com presents the Rattle and Hum Sports Podcast. RattleAndHumSports.com, the number one site for sports, entertainment, and anything that we find interesting. And now, your host of the Rattle and Hum Sports Podcast, Brian Houston.
Good morning. Happy January 2nd. Happy New Year. 2015 is upon us. We are still in full football hangover after a solid week of bowl games, and now we're getting ready for the playoffs in the NFL as the Dallas Cowboys take on the Detroit Lions on this Sunday afternoon. Been a while since we've seen the Cowboys in the playoffs, and to break it all down with us right now from RattleAndHumSports.com is Matthew Poston. Matthew, how are you? Happy New Year.
Hey, fine, Brian. Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you very much. After this week's bowl games, in which I basically didn't get anything right, are we braced for a weekend full of the same kind of thing in the NFL playoffs?
It's certainly possible. I mean, it's always very unpredictable once you get to the postseason. When I look at all four of those games, I could see the underdog winning all four of those games, and the Lions, I think, go into this game with Dallas as the underdog. Being on the road, they got a nice lift this week with Ndamukong Suh dodging suspension. They might get another lift on Sunday if Nick Fairley is able to play. They could have their full complement up front on the defensive line. So that's one of the fun things about this time of year is you think you know how things are going to go, but things could certainly go in a completely different direction at a moment's notice.
All right, well, the Cowboys take on the Lions this week. Last year, the Lions just absolutely destroyed the Cowboys in the regular season. And I'm wondering, first of all, from your standpoint, do you see any kind of a carryover, anything that took place in last year's game that should make Cowboy fans concerned this year?
Well, you look at last year's game, and destroyed is an interesting term because I think that's how everybody thinks of that game, but more to the point, Calvin Johnson destroyed the Dallas Cowboys secondary for 324 passing yards. The Cowboys actually only lost that game by a point, and they lost it because they turned the football over, I think, four times in that game. I'm not too worried about carryover from that game. For biggest reason being is that this is, as we've said many times this season, this is a different Cowboys football team. That team that lost to the Lions last year was not a team that had bought into running the football effectively and an outrageous amount with DeMarco Murray. They were still content to try and throw the football 40, 50 times a game. It worked in the beginning of that game. They built a big lead, but they ended up losing it. This is a different football team. They want to run the ball. They want to establish that early in the game. They want to be physical up front at the point of attack. I don't see carryover. What I see in the exact opposite way is to see a team that doesn't want to allow what happened to them last year to happen again.
All right, the other big story of the week. First, Ndamukong Suh was suspended after stepping on Aaron Rodgers' leg a couple of times in the Green Bay game last Sunday, and it looked like he was not going to be playing in the Cowboys game this Sunday. He appealed. The NFL decided to give him a $70,000 fine, I believe, and so he is now allowed to play. way to slap the guy on the hand there. What's your thought about, first of all, the NFL's handling of that situation?
As usual, not very well. Come to find out that the NFL at the beginning of the season redefined the term repeat offender. Unlike every other dictionary in the world, which defines repeat offender as someone who does the same thing again and again and again, in the NFL now, if you've been suspended and fined for an on-field incident such as the one that Sue had on Sunday, if you go 32 straight games without an on-field incident, you are no longer treated as a repeat offender. And guess which game was the game against Green Bay? It was the first game after his 32-game period ended. And Sue knew that, based on everything I've read, Sue knew that going into the game. So, but his foot was numb, so it's okay. You know, so it's fine. It's cool. No problem. His foot was numb. So, I don't buy it one bit. This guy has done stuff like this throughout his NFL career. The stomp on, I can't remember what player it was on the Thanksgiving Day game a couple years ago, that being the most prominent one. This guy's not a clean player. You know, but fact of the matter, it's just not a clean player. The NFL botched this. You don't need to be giving guys free passes if they give you good behavior for a couple of years. It's just not the right thing to do. If somebody's got a history of doing this, they shouldn't get a slap on the wrist just because there's a period of time where they were a good citizen.
Well, and not only that, but the rationale that I've continually heard all week about this is that it would be, by suspending Ndamukong Suh, that would put Detroit at a playoff disadvantage. Well, that's the whole point of suspension. It's called punishment for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I don't buy that argument either because the Lions know this guy's history as well as anybody. They've had him since they drafted him. So, this is just the NFL just blew this one, basically. Like, they've been blowing pretty much every big decision they've made all season. That's really all it comes down to. The NFL just blew it.
All right, so the fact of the matter is, though, is he is going to play, and it looks like it's going to be Zach Martin that draws the duty of trying to keep Ndamukong Suh from stomping all over Tony Romo. And you know, if Ndamukong Suh has a chance to twist Romo's back or take a shot at his ribs, he's going to do it. So how do you see that matchup?
Well, if it is Martin, and it could be either one of the guards, because Sue does move around a little bit on the defensive line, but if it is Martin, I think Martin can match up with Sue pretty well physically. He's proven throughout the season that he can handle those types of large, powerful, and quick defensive tackles inside. If I'm thinking about it from the Lions standpoint, I might be more inclined to slide Sue over a little bit to the right-hand side, so he's going opposite Ron Leary more often. Nothing against Ron Leary, but I think Martin is definitely the more powerful guard of the two players, and that might be a better matchup for Sue. I think either way you look at it, especially if Fairley doesn't play, and I think that might be one of the big keys we have to watch on Sunday. If Fairley plays, then whoever gets Sue is probably going to have to handle him in single as a single blocker quite a bit. If Fairley's not able to go, and Fairley's a significant factor in what they want to do defensively. If he can't go, then the Cowboys are going to be a little bit freer to use Travis Frederick as a helper blocker for Sue, whichever side of the defensive line he's on. I think the Cowboys have the guys that can physically go up against Sue, but over the course of a 60-minute game, it's going to wear on you on both sides of the football. I think that's going to be the big matchup in this game. The Lions want to bring pressure inside, especially when Tony Romo is dropping back to pass. Sue is the guy who can do that. How well the Cowboys fend him off is going to have a big say in how this game goes.
All right, another big news point. I guess it's big. Henry Melton goes to the IR. He suffered a bone bruise to his right knee against the Washington Redskins. So that's one less defensive lineman in the rotation for the Cowboys. How big of a loss is that going to be?
It's significant. I mean, it's a depth issue, obviously. He and Tyrone Crawford are sharing time at that under tackle position. Sometimes Crawford would start, sometimes Melton would start. Without Melton out there, Crawford's going to have to be more of a three-down defensive lineman. That's not necessarily a bad thing because I think Crawford's pretty good in that role. You'd like to have him play 10 or 15 fewer reps a game, though, just to keep him fresher. So I think you'll probably see the Cowboys run Terrell McClain in that position a little bit. He can play it. He's quick enough to do it. Josh Brent will probably be active on Sunday. I could see him in that position for a few plays just to give Crawford some time off. But Crawford's going to have to carry a heavier load on Sunday. And he can get to the quarterback. He's going to go up against that center, Dominic Raiola, quite a bit on a Sunday afternoon, one of the better centers in the business who's had his own suspension issues. That should be an interesting matchup. I don't think the Cowboys will see what I would call a significant drop-off in their ability to get to the quarterback or get into the backfield. Not that they've had a huge ability to do that all year, but it does mean that Tyrone Crawford's going to have to shoulder more of the load, and that'll be interesting to watch because he really hasn't had to do that all that much this season.
Another issue, and you mentioned it earlier, Calvin Johnson just absolutely destroyed the Cowboys secondary last year in the regular season. So what keeps the Cowboys from getting torched by the Lions receiving corps, which is actually better now because you got Golden Tate in there as well, and you also got to keep your head on a swivel with that guy?
Yeah, that's probably the thing that's keeping Rod Marinelli up at night this week. First of all, if you have a better pass rush, that helps you because it forces your quarterback to make decisions faster. I don't know that you can count on the Cowboys to get that much pressure on Matthew Stafford just because they haven't been able to consistently get pressure on the quarterback this season in the way of sacks or even in the way of quarterback hurries, to be honest with you. So I envision Rod Marinelli doing a lot of different things on Sunday. He's going to have to single up at sometimes with Calvin Johnson. There's just no way around that. And I figure that if he does that, he'll probably use Orlando Scandrick in that situation just because I think Scandrick is his most physical corner. I think he's going to try to be physical with Johnson, probably more at the line of scrimmage this time than he was last time. The Cowboys were really passive when they played Johnson before. They really played off of him. I think they'll try to play a little more physical. They're obviously going to roll safety coverage over, probably Barry Church quite a bit since he's the better cover corner of the two safeties. You might even see a lot of situations where they rush four and they keep seven back, and maybe they play their middle linebacker along them playing a little further back than they might normally do to watch for any routes that go over the middle of the field to Johnson. It's a huge challenge for this secondary because they're good, but they're not great. And they are really dependent upon the offense controlling the football game from the standpoint of time of possession and how well their defensive line can get to the quarterback. If those two things don't work well for this Cowboys team on Sunday, the secondary has the potential to have a long day.
All right, and then, of course, the key to the Cowboys' turnaround all year long has been their running game and the ability to own time of possession, limit the number of plays the defense has had to be on the field. But they're going up against a vicious defensive front. And I heard that Nick Fairley was even in practice this week. And so I don't know what the possibilities are of him being able to play. But how do you see the Cowboys running game stacking up against this defense?
Well, this is the unit matchup of this game, the Cowboys offensive line versus the Lions defensive line. If the Cowboys are going to win or lose this game, I think it's going to be because either their offensive line does its job and doesn't necessarily have to have a dominant game, but at least effective enough to open up enough holes for DeMarco Murray to get upfield, run off 4 or 5 yards of carry and keep the football moving. If the Cowboys win that battle, I think there's a good chance they win the game because they'll possess the ball a lot longer than the Lions will because the Lions don't have that kind of grinding, move the chains, power running game that the Cowboys do. If the Lions are successful in bottling up DeMarco Murray, and a few teams have this year, that makes things a lot harder for the Cowboys because they're going to have to go into more pass plays. The play action that's been so vital for them this season isn't going to work as well. The Lions are going to be more likely to bring a fifth or a sixth guy in a pass rush in a blitz or a delayed blitz situation, and that makes things harder for the passing game. It makes things more dangerous for Tony Romo. So, to me, this is the matchup. This is the matchup the Cowboys have to win on Sunday. And based on the way the offensive line has played most of this season, I think there's a good chance of them winning this matchup. I can't think of a defensive line that's better than the Lions just in terms of sheer talent. and sheer ability. They don't always play together as a unit as well as I think the Lions would like them to, but when they're on in a big way. And I think it's a 50-50, honestly, because especially if Nick Fairley plays. Because if Fairley plays, then the Lions have their full complement up front that can do whatever they want in the playbook, and the Cowboys are going to have to rely a lot on guys being able to go one-on-one with guys like Adonikan Sue and Nick Fairley and Ezekiel Ansah on the outside. So this is the matchup that absolutely bears watching during the game on Sunday, and I think it's a 50-50 for the Cowboys, given how good the Lions are up front defensively.
Okay, and then, of course, all year long and for God knows how many years now, we've listened to the talk about Tony Romo coming up little in December. He changed that narrative and had he ended up being named the player of the month in December because he had the best month of any NFL quarterback out there. Now the narrative is, what can Romo do to change his playoff luck? What do you see happening with Romo this weekend and in these playoffs?
Well, you know, he's had a fantastic December, and I think physically he's probably about as healthy and as consistent as you can get with him this year. It's really all going to boil down to what the Cowboys have done all season. The great thing about this playoff run, as opposed to the past couple, is that, you know, Romo's not their identity anymore. He's not the number one piece of what they do. You've got the power running game. You've got Dez Bryant. You've got DeMarco Murray. He has a great offense. He's got help around him now. So he's not the A number one guy you have to stop. He's a cog in the wheel now, which I think has really freed him up, especially in December, to be the kind of quarterback that I think he's always wanted to be, which is one that, you know, helps to a certain degree manages the game, still makes great plays, but avoids the crippling mistakes that seem to have dogged him over the past few years. I think he has a good game on Sunday. I don't know if he has a dominant game, and I think part of that is because I don't think the Cowboys want to ask him to have a dominant game. They want him to just continue to have the kind of games he's been having where, you know, if they run the football effectively enough, they're going to be able to use the play action. They're going to be able to get the ball outside to Dez Bryant, over the middle to Cole Beasley and Jason Witten, down the field to Terrence Williams. That's the kind of game plan they want. They don't want to do anything new or anything tricky. They want to keep doing the same thing they're doing. And if they do that, I think Romo will play within himself. I don't think Romo will try to force the issue or make any significant mistakes, trying to make something happen when he shouldn't. I mean, you know, Romo did throw the interception against Washington, but that was really more just a great play by Jackson Jeffcoat than anything else. We've seen the Tony Romo I think we've always wanted to see the past for the majority of this season. And the only way that he changes the narrative about the postseason for himself is to win some football games. He did win one playoff game 5 years ago. They went up to Minnesota the next weekend and lost. He knows where he is in his career. And I feel pretty confident that he's going to have a solid game on Sunday afternoon. The question as to whether it'll be a solid or a great game or a poor game is how well the Lions are able to get to him in the passing game.
And, of course, you've got a situation here where everybody talks about, Calvin Johnson and his reputation as one of the best receivers in football. How much of a motivation do you see that being for Dez Bryant to put on a show this weekend?
Oh, I see it as a huge motivator. You don't just have the fact that Calvin Johnson had a huge game against them last year. That was the game where, quote-unquote, positive passion to the world on the sideline. that was a really interesting display from him. But, you know, if you look at him over the course of the last 3 years, you could say there isn't a receiver that's been better in the game than Dez Bryant, especially at scoring touchdowns. No one has more receiving touchdowns in the past 3 years since Dez Bryant. He has 16 this year, broke the single-season record for the team. He wants to get paid. He's a free agent at the end of the season. He believes he deserves to be paid as one of the top two or three wide receivers in the game. And guess who one of those top two or three wide receivers in the game is? The guy he'll be playing opposite of on Sunday, and Calvin Johnson. I think he's worth the money. I think most Cowboys fans would agree that he's worth the money. But a game like this, people might unnecessarily look at it as a measuring stick game, as a game to say, well, if Dez doesn't have as good a game as Calvin Johnson, then Dez isn't necessarily worth the money. a lot of things go into a game plan. A lot of things go into a game that may not necessarily be the case. But I think if Dez would have his druthers, I think he'd want to see the ball come his way a lot on Sunday, make a lot of catches. I don't think that there's a Lions defender in the secondary that could, you know, quote-unquote, hang with him personally. He could have a big game if he's given the opportunity. But there are going to be things that are going to be beyond his control that won't let that happen. For instance, the pass rush against the Cowboys. If the Cowboys give Tony Romo a good pocket, I think Romo is going to go to Bryant quite a bit.
Now, all the attention is on Romo and his postseason, but, you know, there's another guy playing quarterback who has had basically the same kind of history that Romo has. Great potential. Matthew Stafford, obviously, unlike Romo, was highly heralded coming out of the University of Georgia from Highland Park, and first-round draft pick, and has the huge arm, all the tools, but just always seems to come up short. What's your take on Matthew Stafford?
Well, I think he's grown a little bit as a quarterback this year. I think he's been a little bit more consistent than he's been in past years. The thing that I've always noticed about Stafford is that he's been much more up and down, I think, not just statistically, but just in the way he's played. There's been much more consistency in the way he's played this year. I think the addition of Golden Tate as a number two receiver has really helped him quite a bit, especially during those periods where Johnson was hurt earlier this year. They were able to turn to Golden Tate. He really was a huge producer for them, much better than the number two receivers they've had the past couple of years. He makes a big difference in the way they're able to spread the field and create more single coverage situations for Calvin Johnson, and that makes Matthew Stafford better. He's always had a consistent offensive line in front of him, but he just hasn't been able to take that next step. And, you know, I think part of that is just the whole, you know, the whole organization, just their history. They haven't been to the postseason very often, and when they've gotten to the postseason, they haven't gotten very far. Another part of that is, you know, just the fact that Stafford has made mistakes in the postseason. I see him right now as Tony Romo probably 3 years ago, where the Lions are still asking him to do too much on the field. They're asking him to be their number one guy, their number one option, for him to make all the plays. And, you know, unless you're Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or Drew Brees, that really doesn't work in the NFL. I mean, Stafford's not an elite guy. He's a very good quarterback. He's well above average, but he's not an elite guy because he just hasn't shown that on the field. I think if the Lions were smart, they'd take a template or a page out of the Cowboys template, find themselves a power running game, take some of the heat off of Matthew Stafford, and that might not just make them a better team, but it might make Matthew Stafford a more effective quarterback. Because you're right, he has all the tools necessary to be a top five guy in this league. But the things that are holding him back, I think are not necessarily things he can control.
All right, let's talk a little bit about health. As far as the Cowboys are concerned, they had Hitchens get hurt last weekend against the Redskins. What's his availability for this weekend?
Unclear. He's been working out some this week. I don't think the Cowboys are going to make a decision on him until game time. He has a high ankle sprain. That's always tricky when you're trying to recover from that. It's a much different thing than trying to recover from just a simple ankle injury. It usually takes players a couple of weeks to recover from a high ankle sprain. I'd be surprised if Hitchens plays, but I know the Cowboys are holding out hope that he will.
All right, and then anybody else that we need to be keeping an eye on? I know Rolando McClain is going to be back.
Yeah, McClain's back. He's healthy. Had an illness last week, not injury-related, so he should be on the field on Sunday. That'll be a big help to the Cowboys.
All right, anybody else that is questionable for this ball game that you know of?
I think the only other person to watch right now is Doug Free. Obviously, he's missed the last couple of games. Parnell has played well in his place. Free is working out some this week. Again, he's going to be a game-time guy, much like Anthony Hitchens.
Okay, I do want to ask you about some reports, the thought that Rod Marinelli may be looking at moving on to Tampa Bay to become the defensive coordinator there for Lovie Smith. What can you tell us about that situation?
Well, yeah, I covered the Bucs for a few years, and Rod was there when I was there. Lovie was not at that particular time. Lovie had moved on to the Bears to be their head coach. I know that he and Lovie are extremely good friends. They're very tight. When Tony Dungy took over the job there in Tampa Bay, he brought in Lovie Smith as his linebackers coach and brought on Rod Marinelli as his defensive line coach. Marinelli was with Lovie Smith his last couple of years in Chicago as his defensive coordinator. So they're really simpatico in that regard. Longtime friends, they really feel the same way about defense in terms of how they want to execute the types of players they want, et cetera. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if Lovie Smith was interested in trying to bring Rod Marinelli over to Tampa Bay. The thing is, I believe Rod Marinelli does not have a contract for 2015. If I remember correctly, he signed a 2-year deal when he came on to the Cowboys. So normally in this situation, if Marinelli had a contract, Buccaneers would have to come to the Cowboys and ask for permission to speak to Marinelli. And typically within the within the boys club of the NFL, GMs and owners will typically let their people interview for jobs if it's a step up. And Jerry Jones has been like that throughout his career. If it's an interview for a job, it's a step up, he'll allow one of his assistants to talk. This would be a lateral move, obviously, for Marinelli if he moved from Dallas to Tampa Bay. So if he were under contract, I doubt very seriously Jerry Jones would allow him to talk to Lovie Smith. But if Marinelli is not under contract, like I think he isn't for 2015, then Marinelli would be free to talk to Tampa Bay after the season is over. I have to say that if that's the case and Marinelli gets the chance to interview with Lovie Smith, I'd have a hard time believing Marinelli wouldn't take that job. Not necessarily because hasn't done a great job here in Dallas. I think he's done a wonderful job with his defense this year. But his relationship with Lovie Smith goes back 15, 20 years, and that's pretty hard for anybody to overcome, even Jerry Jones.
Boy, I just don't understand why you'd want to go to a really bad football team when you've done such a great job here and you've got a team now in the playoffs and, you've got a team that you can build on right now as opposed to Tampa, which is going to have the number one draft pick or one of the top two. Why would you step into a mess like that at his age? I understand friendship, that's great, but, he's got a chance right now to make a mark in the NFL like he hasn't made since Tampa won the Super Bowl. It's kind of confounding, I guess.
Well, nostalgia is an interesting thing. I think we all know that. And it could be that Marinelli, he spent a long time in Tampa. He was there from 98 or 99 to about 2005 before he took the Lions head coaching job. So he may still have a home in Tampa for all we know. He may still have a residence there. That's where Tony Dungy settled after he retired from coaching football. So it may just be that Marinelli is looking at his career from the standpoint of, okay, I'm in my 60s, I'm kind of getting ready to retire. Where do I want to do that? Hey, I could coach in Tampa for a few more years, live in my old house, and then kind of ride off into the sunset. That might be what he's thinking of. It's hard to say because he's not addressing it, obviously, right now with the game coming up on Sunday. But everybody has their own, as you know, everybody has their own agenda and own things they want to do in life. And he does have a Super Bowl ring, like you said, and maybe one's all he thinks he needs.
Well, maybe so, and we'll see what happens with him going forward. What are the storylines are we missing right now that we haven't discussed today?
Well, Barry Church reminded us that Sean Lee has a grudge against Golden Tate from a hit 2 years ago in Seattle. I don't think you can call it a grudge if somebody has to remind you that there's a grudge, but that's just me. Barry Church says that he'll do whatever he can within the rules to avenge Golden Tate's hit of Sean Lee 2 years ago, a crackback block in that Seattle game. Golden Tate's reply was, I don't even know who that is. I think Golden Tate was probably being a little facetious, frankly, but, it's certainly not the Bounty Bowl, that's for sure.
No, and honestly, I'd be a lot more worried about Sue than I would about Golden Tate right now.
Yeah, exactly. Not really where Barry Church ought to be directing his energies, although I don't think it's going to be any sort of a distraction for these guys going into the game on Sunday.
All right. Do you see the game being at AT&T being any kind of a home field advantage for the Cowboys finally?
I think so. This is a ticketing for a playoff game is a completely different situation than it is for a regular season game, because those tickets don't go on sale till the week before the game. So I have to imagine that the Cowboys took care of their season ticket holders, which is how that usually works, and then they put the rest of their tickets on sale. And I have to imagine that a lot of Cowboys fans were lined up both on site and at Ticketmaster to get tickets on Monday. So I would expect this to be a nice home crowd, home field advantage for the Cowboys finally. I'm actually going to be at the game on Sunday. So I'm expecting it to be a loud, raucous crowd. And if the Cowboys are able to establish their running game early on in the contest, I think that the crowd is going to give them a nice boost, a boost that they really haven't had consistently in quite some time.
All right. And finally, how do you see this thing coming out? Who are you picking?
I think it's going to be a close game. I just love that matchup up front with the offensive line for the Cowboys and the defensive line for the Lions, because it's just, it's old school football. It's a bunch of physical guys who are going to be throwing each other around for 60 minutes, each with their own goal and their own mission. And I think ultimately, I think the Cowboys will get that running game established early. It probably won't be a situation where they're gaining a lot of yards. You know, kind of like the second Philadelphia game, where they didn't run it well early, or at least it didn't look like they ran it well early. But as the game went on, they stayed at it. They kept running the football, and it started yielding big chunks of yardage. I think that's how this game's going to go. I think the Cowboys are going to slowly but surely wear the Lions' defensive line down enough to open up enough holes for DeMarco Murray. And even if Murray doesn't have a huge day, as long as they stick with the run and they make the Lions respect it, that's going to open up the play-action possibilities for Tony Romo in the passing game down the field. The defense has played better the past few weeks. They're doing a better job of getting to the quarterback. I don't know how consistently they get at Matthew Stafford, but they're going to have to do a lot of creative things to try and keep the Lions from hurting them offensively, specifically Calvin Johnson. He's going to get his. He'll probably end up with about 125 yards receiving and at least a touchdown, but you don't want him to go crazy. I think the Cowboys win the game by a field goal, and I think they would be very happy with that.
I think any win by any margin would be wonderful for the Cowboys based on their playoff history recently.
Yeah, absolutely.
Coming up on RylandHumpSports.com.
Well, our five stories to watch this week is up on the site now. Our podcast will be up on the site very soon, and, of course, we'll be keeping you apprised of what's going on with the team heading into the game on Sunday afternoon.
All right, and, you know, let's make sure that Ndamukong Suh has warm socks, because we don't want his feet to be cold.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's double sock him for that, you know, for that big nor'easter that's coming through AT&T Stadium on Sunday.
Yeah. All right. Matthew, always great to visit with you, and we'll visit with you after the Cowboys-Lions game on Sunday.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
All right. That's Matthew Postens covering the Dallas Cowboys for RattlinHumpSports.com. Be sure to read all of his work on the website, and you can hear all these podcasts, of course, on RattlinHumpSports.com and Blog Talk Radio. Thanks very much for listening. I'm Brian Houston, and we will again talk to you after the Cowboys-Lions game on Sunday afternoon. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next time.